Tonight will be a little different. We've already covered all of the verses that are here, and we've really gone through several weeks now of looking at this psalm and looking at it verse by verse, and really more than that, phrase by phrase, to try to learn what the Good Shepherd does in our lives. Well, tonight we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to go through the psalm again, and there's a couple of different purposes in doing this, and one of them is that we just have an overall review, because we've looked at the psalm sort of phrase by phrase over the last, 12 or 13 Wednesday nights. And now I just want to look at it all together in one night so that we get the picture of this great shepherd that we have. And we're going to do, so it'll be a review of sorts, but it'll be a review through the study of the names of God that we find in Psalm 23. And so this is really interesting that all of these things that God does in Psalm 23, and I got 13 of them on our notes tonight, all the things that God does for us, how he blesses us and interacts with us, all of those things are tied to one of his names. And why would that be? Well, if you ask the question, why does God love? You ever thought, why does God love? Do you know why he loves? The Bible says that he is love, right? 1 John tells us God is love, therefore God loves. Why do I love? Not because I am love, right? The Bible tells me I love because he first loved us, okay? So I'm not the source, you understand, of love. I mean, I can love someone, But my love is, we could say this, and I know it's not a good word, but we could say it's a counterfeit of God's love, or it's a replication of God's love. And counterfeit's kind of a negative, so I don't mean to make it negative, but you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to reproduce something in my life that has come from the source, who is God. God is love, therefore he loves. Why does God always do what is right? You know why? Because God is righteousness. He is righteousness. One of his names is the God of righteousness. I'll show you that tonight. And so because he is, now why can I do some good things? I wouldn't claim to be righteous. But why? I mean, before God and standing in salvation, yes, he's made me righteous. But why could I do some righteous things or good acts? Well, not because I am righteous, right? It's because the righteousness of God has been imputed to me. So I'm not the source. What we see in Psalm 23 is really neat. We see God doing all these things. We're going to see Jehovah Jireh. He's a provider. Why does God provide, and why can we trust him to provide? Because that's who he is. He is the provider. He's the source, right? He's the source of the provision. Now, I could brag and beat my chest and say, I provide for my family, but you understand, I'm not the source. Everything that I have comes from him. He's the source. He's the ultimate provider. Why? Because that's his name. And so when we look at Psalm 23 and we see all these different things that God does for us, we have to understand that all those things he does because that's who he is. It's tied to who he is. And that is why in the scriptures we have so many names of God, because God's trying to tell us who he is. These are my names, we would understand that a name is linked, especially a given name of God is linked to who he is. Okay, so we're going to look at what God has done for us in this psalm. And I got about 13 different things, and how it is linked to who he is through his name. Now, each of these names, now there's a few of them that are just going to be sort of variations of each other, but most of the names I'll give you will start with the name Jehovah. Now, Jehovah, we understand and we learned in our very first message in Psalm 23 that God identifies himself through the psalm as the Lord. So look at your Bible again, Psalm 23, and actually I'll pause right now. We're going to read the whole psalm real quick. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we start with the name Lord. And notice in your Bible in verse 1, Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. When you see that, what that word is Jehovah, okay? Jehovah. Now, I spent a lot of time on this word and on the name for Jehovah in our first message, so I'm not going to re-preach all of that tonight, but I just want to remind you that Jehovah is the name for the all-existent, omnipotent God. That's his name. And why I said all-existent is because Jehovah, if you remember, it's made up of three parts. It's Yehi, and I, by the way, as a Southern guy, I butcher the Hebrew every time. And so don't even come up and say, hey, this is how you pronounce that. I still will get it wrong, okay? It's not really about that. But it's Yehi, which means will be, God that will be. You know what that means? He's never going to die. God never has an end to him, okay? So he's Yehi, he's Hoveh, Yehi Hoveh Hayah. Jehovah. Yehi, he will be. Hoveh means being. So when God comes to Moses and says, I am that I am, he's saying, I'm Jehovah. I'm God who is. I always am. I'm eternally existent at all times. So he will be being. And then Hayah, which is the last part of Jehovah, means the God who was. The God who was. So you put all that together, you get Jehovah, the God who was, is, and will be. That's the name Jehovah. So this is the eternal, all-existent God. God existed before us. And when I say us, I mean before man. We didn't create God. Okay, he created us. And he doesn't need us to exist. He exists in all time. That is the name Jehovah. I want to remind you that Jesus used the name Jehovah. In John 8 and verse 59, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And he's invoking that name out of the name Jehovah, which means being, the all-existent one. Also, that word Jehovah will be being and was. In Revelation 1:8, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He says, which was and is to come. Okay, that's that idea of Jehovah. That's that name Jehovah. So we identified the shepherd, the good shepherd, as the God of the Old Testament, but also we understand this thing called the Trinity exists. And so we understand the Jehovah God of the Old Testament is the same as Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And Jesus applied to himself those names. And so when we are addressing our shepherd in Psalm 23, we are addressing the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah God. So Jehovah will be the base name for all the names that we'll look at. So when it says the Lord is my shepherd, understand what it's saying. It's saying Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. When it says he maketh me, who maketh me? Jehovah maketh me to lie down. That's the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. Okay, so when we look at those pronouns like he and thou, thou preparest the table before me. Who prepares the table? Jehovah prepares the table. The Lord of hosts prepares the table. So again, these names are, it's taking what God's done and that name Jehovah and building these names in the passage. So the first one is, and I told my wife this would be, I gave one away. I told my wife this would be a short message and she ridiculed me and told me never to tell anyone that. Because I always lie when I do that. So here's what I'm telling you. It ain't going to be a short message, okay? But I just want to step you through the phrases, what we've already learned, and show you that God does that for us, not just because, you know, it's because of who he is. It's his name. It's his very name. And so the first one is Jehovah Ra. And so in your blank number one there, Jehovah Ra, which means the Lord my shepherd. So if you were to actually just take Psalm 23 and open up a concordance or go to like the Strong's or Blue Letter Bible or something and look up those words, you'll find the Hebrew word for the Lord is my shepherd is just simply the word Jehovah Ra. And it just means the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is the one who is completely responsible for the care of his sheep. And Jesus teaches this over and over in the New Testament. We see it even in the Old Testament, but God is responsible for those who are his. He knows who his sheep are, and he's responsible. Why can I trust the shepherd in every other area? So this little phrase sets up the rest of the psalm for us, as that everything else is talked about it through the sheep's eyes, looking at the shepherd. Well, why can I trust the shepherd with all these different things? Because it's Jehovah Ra. It's the Lord who is our shepherd. He is completely responsible for everything in our life. Why do I not have to worry about my daily provision, for example? Because it's not my responsibility. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so it's his responsibility. A shepherd takes responsibility for the flock. And so the Lord, our shepherd, shows that responsibility. Now, hold your place in Psalm 23, and you can help me to preach a shorter message if you'll turn quickly, okay? So go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and I just want to show you, we're going to look up a verse with each one of these just to show you that name used elsewhere in Scripture. So, these are all actual names of the Lord, okay? So the one, Jehovah Ra, is actually found in Psalm 23, verse 1, but we see Jesus using this same name in John chapter number 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Notice we got two things going on there. We have I am. What's that? Well, we've learned that's Jehovah. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This is that part about responsibility. Look at verse 12. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. You see the illustration that's given there? Jesus isn't some hireling, okay? He isn't just some guy they've hired to watch over the sheep. When the wolf comes, the hireling says, this isn't worth my life. I'm out of here. A few sheep aren't worth my life, and he's gone, right? He's a hireling. Jesus says, I'm not a hireling. I'm the good shepherd. He gives his life, verse 11, he gives his life for the sheep. So he's not, they're his responsibility. We are his responsibility. So we can trust that he's going to care for us in every area of life. That's Jehovah Ra. Now, secondly, we see the Bible say, I shall not want. And when I preach through this, I was preaching about the fact that God provides for us our every need. Now, God, our provider, is Jehovah Jireh in the Scriptures, the Lord that provides, or the Lord will provide. And I said, when we talk about the provision that God gives us, it's not so much that we trust him to provide, although we do, it's that we're content with his provision. I shall not want. That means what he's given me, he's given to me knowing that's what I needed. And so therefore, I don't have to want more than what he has given me. Jehovah Jireh is our provider. Now look quickly at Genesis 22. So again, just keep something in Psalm 23. Go to Genesis 22. And I'll show you where this is. Genesis 22, pretty important story where Abraham's leading his son up to Mount Moriah, and God's told him to bring Isaac up there and sacrifice him. And Isaac keeps looking around, and he's like, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Well, you know what Abraham's answer was? The Lord will provide. That was his answer. Now, this is why this is hard. So we're going to look at all these passages that I want to get excited about. We just got to keep moving. So look at verse 14. 22 verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And that word Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. All right, so I shall not want, that's Jehovah Jireh. Now, the third thing back in Psalm 23, verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, again, remember when we talk about the green pastures, we're not necessarily talking about eating. We're not talking about provision. That's covered in other places in Psalm 23. The Bible says he maketh me to, you never probably seen a sheep laying down and eating. I mean, it might happen. I don't know. I haven't been around enough sheep to tell you about that. But I'm pretty sure they stand up when they're eating. So when they're laying down, I used to have a dog that ate laying down. He was that lazy. No, I don't think sheep do that. I think they stand up and eat. And also I've heard, and just in the study of this, I learned it's actually quite hard to get a sheep comfortable enough to lay down. It's very difficult. And so you can imagine us in life, and God is saying, just rest, sheep. Just rest. Just lay down and rest. Isn't it hard to rest in 2023, America? So many things in our mind and so many distractions and so many things we're sort of constantly irritated about. And every day is like death by 1,000 paper cuts. And it's like, I can't go to sleep. And God's like, go to sleep. Rest. I'm the good shepherd. So this phrase is actually not as much about provision as it is about rest. And so we find this name, Jehovah Shalom. Now, you probably know the word Shalom is peace. This is the Lord of peace, the Lord of quietness and rest. I'll read to you this verse just to save us a little time, but it's Judges 6, verse 23. It says, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day, is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. And so he's speaking there to Gideon, and he's telling him to have peace and to trust in him. And Gideon calls the name of that place Jehovah Shalom, saying, the Lord of peace. The Lord is my peace. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Why is God able, and why does God make us to lie down in green pastures? Because he's the God of peace. That's who he is. He's Jehovah Shalom. All right. Fourth, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 2, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, we talked about the spiritual nourishment that comes from, you know, the Lord leading us to those still waters. But here I want to focus in on the fact that God will lead us. And there's two places in the passage that talk about his leadership. There's here, and then there's also in the path of righteousness. But he leadeth us beside the still waters. This is the name Jehovah Naha. And like I said, I'm sure that's not how you pronounce that. But it means this, the Lord our guide. The Lord our guide. Did you know, why is God able to guide us? Because that's who he is. He is the Lord our guide. That is one of his names. Look at Isaiah 58 with me. Isaiah 58. And verse 11, it says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. The Lord shall guide thee. That is Jehovah Naha. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And so here is God who guides us. Why do I trust God to guide me? Why does he guide me? Because that is who he is. He's Jehovah Naha. He's the Lord who will guide. All right. Then we find the phrase, he restoreth my soul in verse 3. He restoreth my soul. This is the name Jehovah Rapha. And the definition here is the Lord that healeth. And so remember, there's times when even with all the great care and provision of the shepherd and all the leadership that we have and everything that he's providing and how he gives to us everything we need as people, as sheep, we continuously find ourselves in need of healing. We continually find ourselves, I showed the video, if you remember, of the cast sheep, the sheep laying on its back, unable to get up like a flipped turtle, right? And the shepherd comes along and restores. It quite literally means he turns us back over and places us on our feet, just like a shepherd would. And so Jehovah Rapha is the Lord that healeth, the one who he searches out and he heals his people. Exodus 15 and verse 26. Well, look at that. Turn over there quick. Exodus 15. Verse 26, it says, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Here's where we get the name. For I am, you hear, see that I am? I am the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that healeth thee. That is Jehovah Rapha. So God, we understand that not only does he restore, not only does he heal. Why does he do that? He does that because that's who he is. He's the healer. He's the restorer, Jehovah Rapha. We see then that he leadeth me in Psalm 23 again. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So God leads me. Now, I already covered the fact that he leads us. But how do we know that God leads us the right way? Have you ever been following someone else's directions and you started to wonder, like, are these good directions? We've probably all, if you're married, you should be nodding yes right now, especially if you're, well, I'm not going to get any more specific than that. Okay, I don't want to start any fights. But most definitely, we've been in a place where we're following someone's directions. And we're like, man, I don't know if this person knows where they're going, or I don't know if this person knows what they're talking about. We have trouble trusting when other people give us direction. I do. I'm pretty skeptical of, I always think I'm right. You know, I can admit that, you know. When people say, you know, this is the way you should do it. And my wife, she's real nice. She doesn't say... She says this, we'll be driving and maybe I've missed a couple of turns. And she says, where are you going? That's all she says. And when she says that, that lets me know I've missed some turns and I need to start paying attention. So she's very nice about it. But I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm not always right and I miss a bunch of turns all the time. I get, especially driving, I just get distracted. Anyway, but we have, why can I trust God to lead me in the right path? Well, because that's who he is. He's the Lord, our righteousness. So I wrote this down. I wrote the pronunciation down. It's Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Tsidkenu means the Lord, our righteousness. How do I trust that everything God tells me is right? Because that's who he is. He can't get it wrong. God can't get it wrong. He can't give bad directions. Now, if you look at Jeremiah 23 in verse 6, and again, if you can't get there in time, just look it up on your own. I'm going to read it to you, though. Jeremiah 23 in verse 6, it says, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And if you're reading your Bible, do you notice that entire phrase is capitalized? It says, this is the name. This is his name. It's not just that God is, you know, we always hear people say, well, yeah, Jesus was a good person. He was more than just a good person. He was good. His nature. He wasn't just a good teacher or a true teacher. He says, I am the way, the truth. That means Jesus is the truth and the life. And so here we have, this shall be his name. This is what we'll call him. Capital letters, the Lord, our righteousness. That's Jehovah Tsidkenu. How do we trust God? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness every time, because that is who he is. Number 7. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. This is Jehovah Shema. Jehovah Shema, the present Lord. Okay, look at Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel 48, look at verse 35. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. This is Jehovah Shema, the present Lord. So again, if you take your concordance, you look up the phrase, the Lord is there, you find Jehovah Shema, the Lord the present Lord, rather. And so we understand that. Why can we trust that God is with us? Are y'all catching on to this message? It's real easy. Because that's who He is, right? He's the present Lord. One writer said, "Where shall I flee from His presence?" You understand? It's a rhetorical question. Where shall I run from His presence? You can't. You can't get away from God. Why? Because He's the present Lord. He's everywhere. You can go to the bottom of the ocean, He said. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but you could. Try it like Jonah did. You could go to the top of the mountain. You go to the deepest stretches of the galaxy. You're not getting away from God. He is the present Lord, Jehovah Shema. So, I don't fear any evil. I'll never be alone. I don't fear to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for Thou art with me, Jehovah Shema. Let's go to number 8. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now you could call this, because the Bible doesn't give the specific name, but we see some call it the Divine Father. Some call it the God of Comfort. And the God of Comfort may be the better terminology, because there are scriptures that call the Lord the God of Comfort. Why is God able to comfort us? Well, because that's who He is. He's the God of comfort. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy." So this is why Divine Father, because He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why is God able to comfort me? Well, because He's the God of comfort. When we're hurting, I just went down to see a friend Monday. I was with him Monday, and they lost their dad. And dad was a pastor friend of mine, mentor guy, older guy than me. And he was a young guy, way too young, we would say, to go home to be with the Lord. And I'm telling you, that family, they are so tight-knit and everything, and that family was hurting. But did you know something? God is able to comfort. I don't know how. I really don't know how He does it. I don't know how I can, walk into a room knowing that these people are hurting and honestly in one of the lowest valleys of their walk, and yet there's smiles on their faces. And while there's sorrow, there's still joy in the room. And they're not, they're sorry that they're not getting to see Him, but they're not sorry about where He is. And God is just able. I heard both of his sons said, we sure wouldn't want him to bring him back. I mean, he, with what he's experiencing now in heaven with the Lord, we sure wouldn't want to bring him back. I mean, we want to bring him back, but he wouldn't want to come back. And that's just God being the God of comfort. That's who He is. It's Him. All right, let's keep moving. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Jehovah Sabaoth. We see this. I'll read it to you. I'm going to just read these for sake of time. Isaiah 1:9. Except the Lord of hosts, that's the name, the Lord of hosts had left us a small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, we should have been like Gomorrah. Isaiah 1:9 uses the word or the name Jehovah Sabaoth to describe the Lord of hosts. And notice it's in the context of the enemies of God. And so it's the same kind of thought that God prepares and protects in the midst of our enemies. This is the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is the Lord of provision. We would think of a host as a housekeeper, someone who would provide. But it's also the Lord of hosts. We see in the scriptures many times where the Bible tells us that all the hosts of heaven followed him. Or we see that's the armies of heaven. Understand? So it's the Lord of the armies. We can see it that way. And so in the midst of our enemies, we have the Lord of the armies, the Lord of hosts. We have provision, protection. We're not on the defense because the Lord is on the offense for us in the midst of our enemies. And when we looked at the Psalm, we looked at going up to those summer tablelands and all the sheep are there. But guess what else knows where the good grass is and where they can find some tasty little white fluffy things walking around. Those bears and wolves and coyotes know the sheep are going to be showing up at this green grass. But guess what? The Lord of hosts is there, and he prepares a table before them. Oh, no, no, come on and eat. I'll watch the perimeter. That's essentially what we're saying. And so again, it's Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, this is just the word the Lord. Thou anointest my head with oil. The Lord means the anointed one or the anointing one. And honestly, there's so many references to this all along in the scripture. But Leviticus 10 is a good one because it actually speaks of anointing. It says, and ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And so this is just the anointed one. This is, and again, we talked about the Holy Spirit, and he's called the anointing, and he comes in, and he changes our life. He seals our heart, and he does these things for us. So that's just the Lord. All right, then the psalmist says, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Jehovah, Lord, is the name that describes the God who satisfies. The God who satisfies. And we find it in Jeremiah 31 and verse 12, where it says, therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. They shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness. That means to satisfy. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. And so when we look at this portion, my cup runneth over, we understand the Lord satisfies. We talked about how he fills our life to the brim and then some. And he blesses in ways that we can't hold it. Of course, it was conditional if our vessel was right, if you remember. But that's the Lord Jehovah, or Jehovah Lord. All right, let's look at number 12. Sorry to move quick, but my wife was right. This isn't a short lesson, okay? Number 12, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, in this one, we really looked at how God blesses us in our steps, in our everyday life, God's blessing. Goodness and mercy follow us. So everywhere we go, goodness and mercy are there. But then he says, and we know that he's looking to heaven because he says he'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we find here this name, Jehovah Gimula. Oh, I already did it. There it is. Jehovah Gimula, which is the Lord of recompense or the Lord of reward. I'm going to go to Matthew 16. I wrote down Jeremiah 51, 56. That's also a good reference. But write down Matthew 16 and verse 27, and I'll read it. It's essentially this. The word recompense means reward. Most of the time when you see recompense in the scriptures, it's not a good thing. Most of the time it's like, we're about to get what we deserve, you know, or God's going to deal out what he calls it reward. You know, I'll reward the heathen. Well, it's not a reward that you want. Okay, that's recompense. But do you know, just as God rewards the heathen, rewards and he gives them their just due, did you know he's also a rewarder of his? And he's one who rewards his. And so this idea of goodness and mercy and this everlasting life with him. And so Matthew 16 and verse 27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So, we can look at a bunch of different passages. I'll just tell you this. Some are going to get good reward. Some are going to get bad reward. Okay, it's just it'll all be sorted out in the end. But we understand that the Lord is, why can the Lord hand out trophies at the end or punishment at the end, or crowns, and why can he do that? Because he's the Lord of recompense. That's who he is. All right, last one. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the name El Olam, which is in the scriptures a lot of places. But let's look at Genesis 21, because it's not only there, but it gives the definition. Genesis 21, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Really focusing in on the fact that there's no end to God. And because he has saved us and given us everlasting life, there's no end to us either. And so we have this very short life to live, and then after that, we're living with God forever. Forever. El Olam means the everlasting God. Genesis 21, we find it used here as well. Verse 33, and Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And then, again, if you look that up, that name is El Olam, the everlasting God. I love how the psalm ends, and because David, again, and I know that you feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but he's not writing this from the palace, surrounded by treasures and comforts and food on the table. He's writing this in a time of despair. He's writing this as he's running from Saul. He's writing this where at times where he doesn't actually know where that next meal is coming from. He doesn't know if Saul's going to be around the next corner. He's writing it from a very difficult perspective, and yet he continues to credit the Lord. I know the Lord's got this. I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will lead me in the right way. I know the Lord will comfort me when I need it. I know the Lord will prepare the table. And he ends the thing by saying this, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'll just tell you, no matter how this life goes for us, if you're saved, you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is an amazing truth. El Olam, the everlasting God, we have an eternal home in heaven. I like to think of it like this because I'm a numbers guy. That means 10,000 years from now, we'll be with God in heaven. 1 million years from now, we'll be with God in heaven. 10 billion years from now, we'll be with God in heaven. I don't know numbers much bigger than that. But whatever number you put, however many zeros you go, and however many places over you move the decimal point, and you get up there to like, you know, national debt numbers, we're still going to be in God, in heaven with God. And it'll just be getting started. We focus so much on this life and today and this thing that hurts and this difficulty. But that the Bible over and over, this life is like a vapor. Did you hear in the missions letter tonight, those flowers that bloom in, over there in Japan, and they're beautiful for a couple of days, and then they go what? They wilt and they fall off. Didn't God write about that? And he said, you know, this life, it's like the flower that comes up and it blooms and then it withers away. But millions of years from now, we'll be in heaven with the Lord and we'll just be getting started. That is a good perspective to have. And so that's Psalm 23. We're going to put a period on it right there. And next week, we're going to go to something else. So I've enjoyed going through this with you. I hope that it has been a blessing. Let's pray and we will be dismissed tonight. Lord, just want to thank you for who you are. We understand that all the blessings and benefits that we experience in our lives are tied to who you are as a God and as a person. These are your attributes. And Lord, we're so thankful that you are such a good God. We pray for your blessing as we go out tonight. I pray you'd be with each one. Be with the requests that we've made and those that are that have needs. Be with these that are at the end of their days, and Lord, be with their families, be with those that are sick and hurting, and be with those that are facing difficult situations in their lives. We pray for each one. We ask that you dismiss us with your love tonight, and help us to be a witness and a light in these next few days, and Lord, bring us back Sunday for a great day together. Well, thank you for it all, in Jesus' name, amen.